It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. I know I say this at the beginning of shows for the past couple of months, but I have to say it once again. Special thank you to the wonderful listeners. We are consistently in the top 10 in New York AM radio for this hour, according to Nielsen. Of course, Nielsen ratings are the ratings for the radio industry and media in general. That's a very big honor, and I thank the listeners for that honor. And, of course, we work hard to earn it. This show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we interview C-level executives and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business insights into so many business categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, investments, entrepreneurship, financial planning, time management, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. First, a shout out to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, Pesach, Srili, Rina, Miriam, Dina, thank you. They all play an incredible support role for the production of this program. And of course, to the great team at 77 WABC, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. I'd also like to thank and give special mention to some of the channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on: C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio, Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column, Audio Boom, Player.fm, iTunes, and of course a very robust YouTube channel where we have at least, I would say, probably like 60 or 70 videos already. It's all free. And actually, some of them have broken already the 5,000 view mark, so it's pretty impressive. It's all available. And if you want to just listen, some people like to listen by podcast, some people like to listen on player.fm, you can access everything by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Without further ado, we're going to a very special guest this evening, the partners at Saul and Friedman & Company, Saul Friedman and Simeon Friedman. Saul Friedman started the firm back in 1974. Yes, that's close to four and a half decades ago. The firm is known for their excellence in servicing clients, businesses, and tax strategies, and of course with their overall network servicing the business world. Saul Friedman & Company has helped guide thousands of clients through transition processes like the one we're facing right now with the massive tax reform and overhaul. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss the new government tax code and the necessary action steps that should be on the minds of every business, and how to ensure that your company thrives financially, even if you're not a financial whiz. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Saul and Simeon Friedman. Thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's our privilege to be here with you. Thank you for inviting us.
Hi, Simeon, don't be shy.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Now, first I'm going to open with a question to Saul. You're doing this for four and a half decades. What we're experiencing now, without getting into the specifics first, I just want to ask you a general question. Have you ever experienced this in the last four and a half decades, such a scenario of...
We've experienced one change in the tax law under Reagan, but that took a number of years to institute, so we had a lot of planning time. Here, Christmas time, as a matter of fact, a day before Christmas, the new tax law was signed, effective 1 week later.
Wow.
And the changes that we have to make, we don't have much time to plan. However, clients... call us daily, hundreds of calls we got. What do we do? What do we do? And we just can't answer the question because there is still a lot of ambiguities in the law. And we tell them, wait a little while, let us absorb everything. And the more we try to absorb, the more we find out how complicated it is. We're waiting for a lot of clarifications. So this pressure of change did not happen in my entire 44-year career.
Wow. But I would imagine you, because of the team that you have, the dozens of people on your staff, that they have been all on their feet and have been poring it over and to the extent possible are prepared to address these questions.
Yes and no.
He's an honest guy, folks.
We are constantly getting updates from the tax services that we have. And as we're getting updates, we find contradictions between last week's update.
So you alert the government.
No, we don't alert the government. It just shows that we're not really clear especially
from
the way it
itself
affects the businesses. So that puts a tremendous amount of pressure. Just as a point of information, in when I started my practice a year or two before that, the top in the early 70s, very early, maybe end of the 60s, the top tax rate, people don't believe it, was 90%. When I started my practice, the top federal tax rate was 70%. And our great president, Ronald Reagan, came along and he changed the tax law where the top rate was 28%. It went down from 70 to 28% in one fell swoop.
Wow.
That sounds great. However, many, many tax loopholes, tax shelters, and all that was all
wiped
away. And it took us a long time to get used to not having all these shelters.
Right.
People were breeding horses, and people were donating art and all these kind of things. So the tax change was dynamic and extraordinary. However, we had enough time to plan. This is very short time to plan.
Now, it's no secret, just to jump to what's on the mind of many small businesses, and just this is a general question before we get into the real thick of things and trying to wrap our head around what happened in Washington and how it affects the small business. But almost every small business opens because they're solving a need, they're solving a problem, and the entrepreneur is very passionate about what he does, but knows very little about the financial side of things. Is there simple advice that you have for companies like this that just have kind of been winging it, and then they realize, you know what, I really should be speaking to a professional?
The largest part of the tax change and the tax reduction is going to affect the pass-through entities, which we can get into.
We'll get to,
is the small businessman structure of his company. Those are the ones that are getting the biggest
tax cuts.
The most
affected.
The most effective. Not the individuals as much as the small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
A small businessman is going to have to put on somewhat of a mantle of an accountant or a tax guy, because it's going to get his mind in business attuned to these tax savings. Witness the fact that as we've been hearing in the past couple of weeks, all the big corporations are giving bonuses.
Right. So does Pepsi recently.
And Walmart.
Walmart
is giving for a million
so many,
people
right?
bonuses.
Utility companies also.
And utilities also.
Discounts.
Because they've come to the conclusion, they know already what their savings are going to be because they're C corporations. They know their rate went down from 35, 36% down to 21%. The small businessman will also be affected. To what extent is going to be a lot more complicated. So it's very important for the businessman to know if you have good people working for you and your tax rates are going down, somehow to reward the people and keep the people because jobs are going to start booming.
Right.
And if you have jobs, there's going to be competition getting good people. And the way you get good people is by paying them more. So you're going to have to make these decisions. So the small business person should really find out from his tax professional or his accountant how it's going to affect his business, what kind of realizable cuts in taxes he's going to have so he can plan his cash flow accordingly.
Folks, week in and week out, we have amazing guests, C-level executives that bring all types of information to you. And, of course, once Washington passed this new federal tax code, we realized we had to have a special show dedicated to it. And that's why we wanted to have someone on the caliber of Saul and Simeon Friedman. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group, marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, the weekly Mind Your Business show at 10 p.m. at 77 WABC. Our guest this evening, none other than Saul Friedman and Simeon Friedman, partners at SNF Co., Saul Friedman and Company. They've been one of the leading firms here in the New York area, and they've been open since 1974. Yes, experience does count for more than a little bit. And they are certainly, closing in on a half a century of service, servicing businesses of all types. By the way, it's primarily small businesses, but without divulging, who is like some of your larger clients? I'm saying this in terms of annual billings, just so people get a sense of your firm.
Our largest client in sales started with us in 1976.
Wow.
He did sales in 76, $2.7 million for the entire year.
Okay.
In 2017, he did $2.9 billion with a B.
Wow.
Dollars.
So they just switched from an M to a B.
So, right. And we have many clients that started with us very That's small nice. And doing hundreds of millions of dollars wow. of business. And they've been with us for the 40-year run.
And by the way, in order to find out more information about your firm, what's the website?
Website is www.snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Beautiful. Let's jump right in, okay? Trump established this major tax overhaul in Washington. At the end of the day, it is law, and it became law, as Saul mentioned, within 7 to 10 days after it was passed, which is like it's not possible. I mean, I'm stammering because it's just like it's mind-boggling to figure out how tax professionals are dealing with this. But somehow it is what it is, and we have to deal with it. Let's jump in. The 20% qualified business income deduction. What is that all about?
The government decided that in any pass-through entity, and we'll explain what a pass-through entity is, most small businesses work in a pass-through entity. Up until now, the top rate was 39.6% on the federal level. That's the tax rate you paid on income in your business. The government reduced the tax rate for individuals from 39.6% to 37%. However, for small businesses that qualify, the government said that when you report the income, we allow you to chop off or deduct 20% off of that income, which is not taxable. So for instance, if you had $1 million in profit, mm-hmm. where up until now you paid 39.6 on the $1 million, now you're going to pay 37% only on $800,000, because we're giving you an exemption of 20%, which is $200,000. That means that the effective tax rate for businesses mm-hmm. is 29.6%, which is a reduction of 10% off the top. And in small businesses, that is a lot of money to the pockets sure. of the shareholders.
Sure. Now, explain pass-through entities, please.
I'll explain that.
Okay.
Pass-through entities are different structures, legal structures, and what the entities are. For instance, it could be a corporation that has elected by the IRS to be treated as what's called a subchapter S corporation, which the corporation then does not have any tax burden on the entity level, and instead the income flows through to the shareholders, and they pick up that income on their personal taxes. Similar to that, you have an LLC, which is another entity that flows through to the individuals. Again, the LLC on its own doesn't have any tax. You have partnerships, and then you have an entity that is not an entity. You have what's called a sole proprietorship or a sole practitioner that files their business income on their directly on their personal tax return, and they don't file a separate entity for that. So small business would be either an S corporation, an LLC, which, as I said, the income flows through to them personally, and then the individuals that report their business income on their personal tax returns, that would also be considered a small business, where potentially the 20% deduction or exemption of their income can be applied.
So now, just to come back to again this, the 20% qualified business income deduction, which entities are eligible for this deduction?
To clarify, when you say entities that are eligible, the entities actually don't have the deductions. The entities report the income, and that income flows through to the individuals. Either if it's an S-corp, to the shareholders, if it's an LLC or a partnership, to the partners or members within the LLC. Once they get the flow through via Schedule K-1 and they pick up the income on their personal tax return, there will be a provision to report that income and to apply the 20% deduction off that, providing that it is they're qualified to take that deduction. But assuming that they are qualified, it would be done on the individual tax level.
Now, folks, if you're just tuning in, this is a very special show because we are, to the extent possible, we are tackling common questions and concerns, et cetera, that are on the minds of millions of Americans, hundreds of millions of Americans, that about the new tax law that have just been passed in Washington. But as our listeners know, Tuesday morning, following when the show airs, this episode will be up and live on our robust podcast channel on iTunes, and you'll be able to access the show by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com. My guests this evening, Sol Friedman and Simeon Friedman, partners at SNFCO, Sol Friedman & Company. They are one of New York's leading accounting firms, and they've been in the business for nearly a half a century. They opened in 74. They're going to have a big anniversary coming up in a couple of years. We certainly hope to be celebrating together with them. We are honored to work with them. This is a very special relationship. They are a client of ours, and we're a client of theirs. And it goes to show how special the relationship is. And really, thank you for the excellent work that you do for so many companies. And I really appreciate that they are joining me here on this show, because I'm kind of putting them to the test. This is a lot of very highly technical stuff, and we're trying to make it as simple as possible. But the fact that the government passed this just a mere few weeks ago, and that they have already the information to the extent possible solved, really shows their level of professionalism and the great team that they have. They have a team of 40-50 people that are breaking their heads over what happened in Washington, and really a special thank you to you for that. Let me open up. Are all businesses eligible for this, what we call the 20% qualified business income deduction? Are all businesses eligible for this?
Obviously not.
Okay.
Government always pulls a stunt. The government defines businesses that are not eligible as service corporations. Mm-hmm. They've specifically said that lawyers, accountants, doctors, and consultants, and mortgage brokers and stockbrokers are not eligible for this tax break. Because what they're basically saying is the money you earn is like wages, and wages, the top rate is 37%. Why should you get a break? Mm-hmm. The government did exempt architects and engineers because they said that those professionals are working on buildings, and President Trump wanted to encourage the building, the construction of buildings.
I wonder why.
I would assume accountants weren't.
Accountants are not eligible for it. Neither are lawyers. Even that has an exception. Mm-hmm. The exception is that if you're married, filing jointly, and you make under $315,000 a year, mm-hmm. You are eligible for this deduction. And there are no limit. There are no other exceptions to the rule because you're under $315,000. But for all other businesses, whether it's manufacturing, construction, distribution, retail, wholesale, all these businesses who are small businesses are eligible for this 20% deduction.
Mm. So now I'm going to, you did break it down, but just on a specific level. Again, there's the business side, and then, as we said, pass-through, how it affects the individual, the shareholders, if you will. Maybe you could just elaborate a drop more on that.
I'd like to give a small example, mm-hmm. Only because I would love your audience to realize that the law is complicated. And there are exceptions, and you have to plan for it. You cannot solve all the problems on a show like this. But mm-hmm. if I give one example,
sure.
People will see that you need to consult your accountant and your tax advisor to do this. So we'll use one example.
Sure.
In order to get this, if you're an eligible company, meaning you're not an accountant or a lawyer,
right.
Let's assume you're a manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And let's assume that you made $1 million in profit among the shareholders. Under normal circumstances, you would get a 20% deduction and you would pay taxes only on $800,000. Now the government comes in and says, well, we can limit this 20%. To what extent? Do you have a payroll? The government wants to encourage businesses, jobs.
Mm-hmm.
President keeps on saying all the time, jobs. So you're limited, number one, to 50% of your W-2 wages that you paid in any given year. So I'll give you an example. Assuming that your total payroll for the year, including your own, is $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
50% of $200,000 is $100,000.
Right.
So ordinarily, 20% of the million that you made would be $200,000, but you're only limited to the 100, which is 50% of the W-2. So government wants you to have a business that pays payroll. If your business pays a $500,000 payroll,
right.
Half of that, 50%,
right.
Is $250,000. You don't get the $250,000. Remember, you only get 20% of the million.
Right.
So you're limited to whichever is lower.
Right.
So it's either the $200,000 or the...
That's one cap.
Mm-hmm. There's another cap.
Right. And again, we're addressing limitations and exceptions.
Right. Yeah. So there's another cap. If you don't have payroll mm-hmm. as much as you should to get the full credit,
mm-hmm.
but you have assets, machinery, equipment, mm-hmm. A plant, packaging, all this equipment, the government says... we will let you take 2.5% of the total amount of equipment as originally bought. You can disregard depreciation. And add it to 25% of your W-2 wages. And if together it hits that $200,000 mark, you can get that $200,000. If together it only hits 100 or 150, you can only get the 150. So they are limiting this to businesses that give jobs for people, pay a payroll or have heavy equipment or heavy assets, buildings that they use in their business, and only then can you get the $200,000. This is a little bit, it's a lot more complicated than I've explained, but just to show you a tidbit of what's involved in order to be able to plan this out with your professionals.
Wow. Simeon, anything to add to this? I mean, I know this is like,
well,
it's complicated, but
it's very complicated and everybody's trying to dig into it. And every day there's new articles. Everybody's looking at it from this way, this angle, to the other angle, to a point where everybody's coming up with the consensus that the people that wrote the bill may themselves not have foreseen the complications that can come out of it, and the contradictions. So there'll be a lot of clarity in the futures, clarification guidelines.
Sure.
The IRS will issue
all types of
additional guidelines, and exactly, so that we understand what quote unquote the intent of Congress was. But it is something that a lot of accountants and tax professionals are actually salivating in, that we finally have a new piece of legislation that we can sort of get our hands dirty with again. You know?
I'd like to add something. Yes. If you recall, a couple of minutes ago, I said that if you make under $315,000, even accountants and lawyers can get that 20%. If you make if your income is under 315, if you're married, and if you're single, it's half of that. The exception of payroll is also not there. Mm-hmm. So even if you have no payroll and you're an accountant or a lawyer or a consultant, you can still get the 20%.
So if you're below that benchmark, you're always eligible to the
20%.
This is not simple, folks, but that's why there are professionals out there, and that's why we reached out to the firm Slow Freeman & Company to send their top people so that we could do a show and present it to the listeners of this show. So if I may, just still to hold on to this concept, how will non-pass-through entities be taxed? You talked about pass-through entities. Great. How will non-pass-through entities be handled?
I'll answer that. Non-pass-through entities, what that in essence means is that the income stays within the entity and the tax on that income is paid by the entity, which is a regular corporation, or as we call it, a C corporation. There is no flow through to the shareholders of the income generated. The tax law has changed where the highest bracket of tax that a business would pay was knocked down to 21%, which is obviously great for large corporations, because they'll have the original rate was 35%, and it's knocked down to 21%.
And that translated, like we talked in the beginning of the show, for why companies have then
correct why they're able why they're sharing that with the employees and ultimately with the customers. The benefit of that, obviously, is a significant tax savings.
I'd like to add that C-Corps are not only for large corporations. There's certain entities, certain shareholder groups that cannot elect to be an S-corporation, could not elect. Mm-hmm. For instance, if somebody is a foreigner, not a U.S. citizen, you cannot be. You cannot have an S-Corp. If somebody, one of the partners in the business is a corporation, you cannot be an S-Corp. So even small businesses could be C-Corps. You don't have to be a large business. Mm-hmm. An S-Corp is limited, I think, to 100 shareholders. If you have more than 100 shareholders, you have to be a C-Corp. And they get a direct tax relief, going down from 35% to 21%. That's 14%. Going down. The object of that was to make America more competitive with the outside world. The outside world's average is 23% federal tax. We wanted it to drop lower than the average. It went back down to 21%.
Now, after the break, I still want to discuss that concept about the S-Corp versus the C-Corp, and if someone wants to change that and the permission to change that. We'll get to that in a minute. My guests this evening are Sol Friedman and Simeon Friedman of Sol Friedman & Company. They're one of the largest firms here in the New York area with the amount of time that they've been in business here for nearly a half a century. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Is your business owed money? Are you frustrated with trying to recover past due funds and worried you may not get paid? At Ginny Debt Collection, we know dealing with debt collection can be a stressful endeavor. With more than 15 years serving clients nationwide, Ginny Debt Collection's comprehensive hands-on services help your business efficiently recover past due funds, improve cash flow, and develop strong customer relationships. Call us at 917-400-3253. Or visit GinniDebtCollection.com. That's G-I-N-I DebtCollection.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yisroch Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at MYBRadio.com. My guests this evening are none other than Sol and Simeon Friedman, partners at SNF Co. In fact, they identified that that's their website. To find out more information about them, snfco.com, snfco.com. They've been in business for nearly a half a century. Pretty impressive in this world. And they identified that the newest tax laws that were implemented in Washington a couple of weeks ago at the end of 2017 was kind of the earthquake to the industry. They've never experienced anything quite like this, where such a massive change was implemented within a few short days. But yet they're on their feet and they're dealing with it, and that's why we called them down into the studio, and they were gracious enough to come in and share their wisdom and insights and what they their know-how. You know, with that question, I'm just going to throw it open to you, Sol, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot with this. What's the most commonly asked question that you've been asked over these past few weeks since this new tax law went into effect?
I'm glad you asked the question.
Hey, thank you.
The question is an obvious question.
Okay.
And for the layperson, the question is as follows. We know, as we discussed before, that the large corporations pay a tax of 21%. And with the 20% exemption, the pass-through, the small companies, mm-hmm. I said, they get a discount off of a 37% rate. They mm-hmm. pay 29.6%. Mm-hmm. Let's round that to 30%.
Okay.
Why is it that the large corporations only pay 21% and the small businessman pays 30%? It's not fair. That's an obvious question, and it creates the next question. Why is it that I can't get the same benefit as a large corporation gets?
Right.
And why is it that Congress favored the large corporation?
Right, as opposed to the small business.
The answer is that they did not favor the large corporation. As a matter of fact, the smaller corporations, the pass-throughs, right. have a better rate than the large corporations.
And how is that?
How is that? A large corporation, let's assume, made, again, to our example, $1 million. Mm-hmm. It pays a tax of 21%, which is $210,000. It's left with $790,000 in profits. Right. Should they distribute as a dividend $200,000 to the shareholders, the shareholders will have to pay tax again, double taxed. This money was taxed once, mm-hmm. and now when they get a dividend, they pay double, which is about 23%. So they're paying 21% off the top, and then another 23% as a dividend when they take out the money.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller, the pass-through companies only pay this 29.6 or the 30%, and when they take out the money, they don't have to pay taxes again.
Mm.
So the question arises,
right?
Am I better off? This was the question that I've been asked.
Right.
Am I better off if I have a business? Am I better off being a pass-through, or should I
right.
become a C corporation, which is not a pass-through? That's only applicable, really, if I don't pull my profits out of the business, if I leave it there to grow. So if I don't take any distributions, I will essentially only pay 21%, and I don't have any dividend taxes on dividend because I didn't take out anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be better off becoming a C Corp from an S. And that's very easily done. You have to elect out of it, and you can become a C Corp, providing it's done before March 15th of 2018. You have basically 75 days in which to
You can do it the following year.
Or you wait a year. Now, the most frequent question that I've been asked is this question. Maybe it pays for us, our company, to become a C Corp. And for that, we have to do an analysis. We have to do analysis. How much distributions do you take every year? What do you anticipate your profits to be? Are you planning to take out money from the corporation and make investments?
Right.
And we have to take all that into account. Because remember, once you switch from an S to a C, you cannot switch back for 5 years.
Oh, that's what it is.
So you have to be careful. We have to do so. The most frequent question we've been asked is, does it pay for us to become C Corps? Now, this is quite complicated, and I urge your audience to, this is a question that should be asked and must be settled. If you want to do it this year, it must be settled by March 15th. So you basically have 2 months to do it. And that's a question which requires a lot of analysis, a lot of study, because it depends if you were always an S Corp, if you were an S Corp only recently, and you were once a C Corp. It's very, very complicated. Mm. But this can save. We've done studies on two or three of our larger clients, and we found one of our largest clients, we found that in over a 10-year period, if he elects to go from an S to a C, he's going to save about $70 million dollars in taxes. The first 6 years, he's going to be saving a lot of money because he's becoming a C.
Okay.
But the last 4 years, he's going to be paying more taxes as a C. But as I said before, he can switch back.
He can switch back up to five.
Well, we're not sure about that.
Well, we're not sure what the government is
going
to do.
It's going to happen at that point.
The government will realize that this could be a plan, and they may put some stopgap
there. So the most complicated issue facing the small businessman that your audience should take away is not really the 20% deduction, because that's a mathematical number crunching kind of thing, which your accountant would be able to answer quickly. But it's doing this study and this analysis, seeing whether it pays to remain as an S Corp or switch into a C Corp.
Now, I know you touched on this a little bit, but again, what happens if you leave all your profits in the corporation and you only take wages and no other distributions?
That is probably an example of when it would pay to switch from a pass-through to a C-Corp. If you don't take distributions, so there is no double tax on the distributions, so the company is staying with the profits after only paying 21% tax, versus the shareholder would have to pay 30%, so he would have to cover his taxes of 30%, and you're leaving about 10% of your income in the company tax free.
So if you take distributions during the year, it is still paid to change from an S corp to a C corp.
Sometimes it depends how much you take. Normally, small businessman will take out money from the company is to pay his personal taxes on the business.
Right.
Now he doesn't have to do that because the company pays. But he might want to take out other monies. It depends how much he takes out. But remember, this income, whatever it is, even if one day you switch back to an S, if you ever take out this portion of the income, you would have to pay the taxes on dividends again.
Now, folks, I have one more question, then we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to discuss how this tax law affected the individual. We will get to that. But one more question first is, what other major changes are there that affected the small businessman?
If you've been listening to President Trump, who's a businessman, and I salute him for that, he knows, and we all know, that businesses thrive when they get new equipment,
right,
when they make investments in,
right,
in fixed assets. One of the things that was changed that with certain limitations, but if you buy equipment, fixed assets, mm-hmm, that are eligible, mm-hmm, for this, you can expense the entire, you don't have to depreciate over 5 years,
wow,
7 years, 3 years. You can write off the whole thing in the first year. So think of it this way. Right. If you buy a piece of equipment for $100,000 and the bank finances $80,000 of it, even though you didn't pay the $80,000, you can still take a $100,000 deduction,
wow,
even though the cash out of the company, right, was only $20,000.
Wow.
Now, the interesting part about this piece is, this is the only legislation, only new change, which goes retroactive to September 27th, 2017.
Wow.
The reason being is because people, in anticipation of having their rates lower,
right,
and anticipation of what President Trump promised, and he usually delivers what he promises, they went out and bought equipment. And he wanted to make sure that the people who bought equipment in anticipation of the 2018 year will at least be able to write it off. So this is the only thing. All the other laws are effective as of January 1, 18, and some of them as of January 1, 19. This one is effective in still in the fourth quarter of 2017.
Fascinating. Fascinating. My guests this evening are Saul and Simeon Friedman of the Saul Friedman & Company. That's a CPA firm and tax planning, business management. They've been servicing clients for nearly a half a century. They started back in 74. And they were gracious enough to come in and share their wisdom on everything that's going on in Washington. Well, not everything, as it relates to the new tax laws. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com. And, of course, on the 77 WABC app. This is a really great addition, in case you're just tuning in. It's Saul Friedman and Simeon Friedman themselves here in studio of SNFCO, a CPA firm that has been in operation for nearly a half a century. So they know quite a bit about the world of business. They've been advising businesses that do just a few hundred thousand a year, up to one of their clients does a couple of billion a year. So they know the landscape. And, of course, we wanted to have a discussion, especially because of the brand new tax laws that were just enacted in late 2017. And therefore, we felt that it would be of great benefit for our listeners, our wonderful listeners, to have such a show. Also, a reminder, this episode will be up by Tuesday morning, so therefore no worries if you just tuned in now and say, I want to hear what they had to say. You don't have to send me an email. Where can I get it? It will be on mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, until now, we've been talking all about business, S-Corp, C-Corp, the whole thing. And again, if you missed it, go to MYB Radio on Tuesday morning. You'll access it. But now, if it's okay, let's talk about the individual. How is the individual affected by what happened in Washington?
I'll handle that.
Okay.
Yep. For the individual, the first benefit, obviously, was that although they maintained the amount of tax brackets, the tax brackets were reduced.
Mm-hmm.
Where the highest tax bracket is 37%, down from 39.6%, but that's for high-income earners.
Mm-hmm.
The individuals that don't earn as much, the threshold on where their brackets go to a higher level was increased. So for the middle class or lower-income earners, just on the tax rate, they'll have more money in the pocket on a weekly basis. Their withholdings that are taken off their check will be reduced, so they'll be left with more money in their pockets. And this we shall see now in February when the new rates are implemented.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a revised paycheck from that day, so people will see the benefits right away. Mm-hmm. So that's a significant benefit. Another mm-hmm. significant benefit is that everybody talks about itemized deductions or mm-hmm. standard deductions. What's itemized deductions? What's standard deductions? Although the government allows you to take certain deductions on your tax returns, for instance, if you have you're paying a mortgage and there's an interest, or you have to pay interest, the government lets you write off the interest portion. Or if you give charitable contributions, or you pay state taxes, these are all deductions. Or you have medical expenses, there are a certain amount of deductions that the government lets you take.
Mm-hmm.
However, you don't have to choose to take those deductions, or as called, itemize those deductions. What you can do is the government lets you take what's called a standard deduction, regardless of if you actually had those deductions or not. Mm. Prior to this law, the standard deduction was a little under $13,000 for somebody that's married filing jointly, and mm-hmm. For somebody that's single filer, it would be about $6,300, a little more than that. Where the government says, here's a freebie. Even if you don't have any mortgage, you don't have any interest, you don't have charity, here's a freebie. You can deduct or take the standard deduction. The new law had increased the standard deduction for taking as an example, a married filing jointly. It went from a little under $13,000 up to $24,000, which means if you earn $50,000 or $60,000 a year, the government lets you knock down. If you're married filing jointly, the government lets you knock down $24,000 of it, and your tax is not even calculated yet. Your tax is being calculated on whatever is left after the standard deduction. So by increasing the standard deduction, this can make a huge difference for the lower income earners, which will be evident in their paycheck, because mm-hmm. their paycheck takes this into account. Their paycheck takes into account the tax rates and the standard deductions. So there'll be more money on a weekly basis in people's pockets. There is, however, certain changes in the...
changes that are on the negative side, there's one more positive side.
Okay.
And that is the government, on top of the $24,000, gives you another break. For every child you have, you get a $2,000 credit. In other words, if you have, for argument's sake, four children, first you get a $24,000 standard deduction.
Okay.
And for the four children, you get an $8,000 credit, not off your income, but off your tax. So if you made $60,000 and the tax on the $46,000 or the $36,000,
right,
would have amounted to $5,000, and you have four children, you don't have to pay any taxes either, because
it's right off the tax,
not as a deduction.
Wow. It's not the full $2,000 is not refundable. It's refundable up to about $1,400 right. would be the fund refundable.
The difference between a credit is you get off the tax. Now, if you have no tax to pay, and you have four children, and there is no tax, so you can't use the $8,000
right
credit. The government will give you four times $1,400 in cash back.
Well,
as if you're getting you're not paying taxes,
right,
but getting a refund. In that case, it would be $5,600 you would be getting. So that's another plus to what the government did. And the last and final plus,
Justin, this note. There was, however, the exemption that was knocked out, which is that the government lets you exempt a certain amount of income based on the amount of the children dependents that you have or that you're filing. That was done away with, but they felt that by doubling the standard deduction to $24,000 and giving the child tax credit, it should make up the difference. A couple of other points just to mention.
Maybe about mortgages.
Yeah. As you know, if you have a mortgage, you're allowed to deduct the mortgage interest portion. Before this change, the limit on the interest that you can deduct is on the up to $1 million of mortgage, meaning interest that you pay up to $1 million of mortgage, that interest could be deducted. In addition to that, you were able to deduct on, if you had a home equity loan, with interest, of that loan, $100,000 of debt, the interest that you pay on the $100,000 of debt, that would have been deductible. So the changes that they made sort of brought that down, which is not necessarily a benefit in this tax law, which is that right now the limit is you can only deduct on mortgages for a balance of up to $750,000 instead of $1 million, and on home equity loans that would not be deductible.
But I think it's grandfathered. That's only for new mortgages that you take. I think that we have to check whether mortgages that you have in existence.
I believe so. I believe so. Yeah, a couple of other small things. Mm-hmm. If somebody gives a lot of charity, where the government let you deduct up to 50% of your charity, right now that's going up to 60% of your charity. So if somebody is very charitable, they can give even more charity. The only bad part of this or downside is for the high tax states such as New York, New Jersey, California.
Illinois,
the high tax states, in theory, those residents of those states took a hit because previously you were able to deduct your state income taxes that you paid, which could be a significant amount of money. And right now the IRS is only putting a limit of up to $10,000 a year.
So including property tax.
Including property tax. So if your state and local taxes in total was $30,000, right, you're only able to deduct up to 10. So right now those states are actually dealing with these issues, and it is becoming a little controversial on how they intend to go about it. But
recently, that's a big hit. Recently I heard an interview with Secretary Mnuchin of Treasury, and he was asked the question that some states want to turn the property taxes into a charitable deduction. In other words, call it charity.
Right.
You're giving charity to the state so they can deduct it. And he said during this interview, he said that the IRS will not allow it because it's not charity. It's property taxes duly owned on property, and you can't call it charity. Even though the law doesn't preclude that right now, but I'm sure the IRS is going to put it into their regulation.
The argument is that you have to level the playing field, and why should the non-high taxed or no tax states have to, in theory, subsidize those other states? But then you can argue that the higher tax states are usually more highly populated.
Right, and they're higher value.
And then most
cases,
they're sort of contributing a big
higher,
chunk of the revenue. But so this is a back value and forth that we'll have to deal with.
You won't believe it, but we're basically out of time. That's how time flies here on this show. But I must get in a final question, and that is, any final takeaways for the listeners of Mind Your Business? I'm first going to pose it to Saul and then to Simeon. Any final takeaways?
They tout that you will be able to file your taxes on the postcard. It is true. Most people that take the standard deduction have a couple of kids, postcard size, nothing else. But for the small businessman, and that's a topic we're discussing today, or shareholders in a small business, or partners in a small business, until laws settle in, it's very complicated. And I urge you to sit down with your professional, with your accountant, with your tax advisor, and go through these various topics and see how you can take the most advantage of the tax cuts that were enacted by Congress, and that should boost your business, and it'll give you back some of the money that you've been paying will remain in your pocket and in the pocket of your business and of the employees. And the economy is going to roar as it roars after every tax cut.
So, Simeon, you anything, or you ditto that?
I sort of ditto that, but then again, you have to do research, but understand that conceptually you should know the basics, understand the basics so that you know when to ask questions. So that's that everybody should do, is do a little research. But at the end of the day, you should rely on a professional so that you can be sure that whatever decisions you make are going to be the correct ones.
If somebody has any general questions, and if they can forward us by email or send it to you, and you can forward
What email address?
Our email address is
info@snfco.
That's Sam, Nancy, Frank, Charlie Orange.com. We're going to try and get back to you with general answers. Questions. And we really enjoyed this. And,
thank you.
And you must be in your prior life, you must have been an accountant because you really asked a lot of tough questions.
Well, we do a lot of preparation before each show, but a very special thank you for making it so easy for me because of your knowledge. Very special thank you to Saul and Simeon Friedman. We do know that this show is going to get listened to and listened to and listened to and listened to many, many times by many, many people because of the knowledge that was shared here on this program. And again, by Tuesday morning, it will be up permanently at mybradio.com. That's where you can access the iTunes channel. There is going to be also a YouTube video on this episode. It's all available by going to mybradio.com. Well, this brings to a close another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night, right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.